Matthew chapter 6, and then we'll read after that from Luke 11. So Matthew 6, I'll begin reading at verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And if you turn to Luke 11, reading from the first verse. And it came to pass that, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Oh, may God bless those 2 readings there from his word to our hearts. I want to begin on Tuesday evening looking at what, and I hate this title, is called the Lord's Prayer, because it certainly isn't the Lord's Prayer. He never prayed this prayer. He couldn't begin to pray this prayer. He couldn't pray, forgive us our sins or forgive us our debts as we forgive those who sinned against us. He couldn't pray anything like that because, of course, Christ is without sin. So this isn't a prayer that Jesus prayed. He couldn't pray it. If you want to look at the Lord's Prayer, you have to turn to John 17, for in that we have recorded for us a prayer of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see in Luke that really what Jesus is doing here is answering a request from the disciples to be taught how to pray. So Jesus gives this example, this pattern, to his disciples, instructing them guiding them as to how to pray, showing them what should be some of their priorities in prayer, showing them some of the petitions, the things they need to be asking for in prayer. So Jesus isn't saying this is mandatory, that is, we're to pray this prayer word by word, because what he's doing is showing how we should pray. We're not to necessarily just keep repeating this prayer ad verbatim. Of course, there's nothing wrong in praying this prayer at all, provided, and this is a big provision, you know what you're saying and what it means, and you mean what you're saying. Down through history, many people will have said audibly this prayer, and they don't even have a clue what it really means. And they certainly don't mean what it says. And if people were to utter this prayer and not know what they're meaning, then they don't mean what they're saying. It would be totally unacceptable to God. And Jesus, in this instruction of how to pray, gives us an idea how our prayers can begin and conclude in Matthew. He doesn't do the same in the Luke account. We don't have how to end in prayer. And in the middle, he gives six petitions, things that we could pray for that are important that we pray about. But what I want to look at this evening, as it was announced on Sunday, is the introduction, how we can begin, how we can come before God in prayer. And Jesus says, come in this way. Come before God, our Father, which art in heaven. And the first thing, obviously, implied there and taught by Jesus there is, when we pray to God. He's the only one we can pray to. You can't pray to anyone else, anything else, but God. Throughout the history of mankind, people have prayed to all sorts of people, all sorts of things, and it's just pointless. You know, it's just words going in the air to no one. It's only God we can pray to. But God is a Father in a threefold sense. See, in the Godhead, there are three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So in that sense, God is a Father. Secondly, God is a Father in creation. If a man is responsible physically for the birth of a child, he is the father of that child. He has given that child life. Well, God has given life to all things. God has created all things. We're told in Malachi, have we not one Father? Have not one God created us? So God is the Father of all mankind in the sense of being the creator of all mankind. And then thirdly, God is a Father in a relationship sense, whereby an individual person has a relationship with God as his child, and God is their Father. And that's, of course, a Christian. We're the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, and God is our Heavenly Father. And that's the sense that's to be understood here. A non-Christian can call God their Father in a creative sense. You know, he's the Father of all mankind in that way. But a non-Christian can't call God their Heavenly Father as the child of God, because they're not a child of God, being without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, he doesn't just say Father, he says our Father. So immediately, the implication is somebody that knows God, somebody that's got a relationship with God. So we could pray my Father or our Father, but a non-Christian can't pray in that way because God isn't their Father. They have no relationship with God in that way at all. There was a particular occasion when the Jews were boasting to Jesus, being descended from Abraham, that God was their Father. And Jesus turned around and says to these Jews who didn't believe upon him, God wasn't their father. Their father was the devil, he tells them. But notice, it's our Father which art in heaven. God is omnipresent. God is all present. God is in all places. but God in particular dwells in heaven, where he reveals all his glory to the angels to save sinners, and where they in turn worship him, praise him, and serve him without sin. And saying, which art in heaven, reminds us that when we pray to God our Father as his children through faith in Christ Jesus, we're coming before the majestic, glorious, infinite, all-powerful, invisible God. So yes, he is our Father. We have a personal relationship with him. But he's our Father which art in heaven. So we have to come before him with reverence. At the end of the day, he is God, and we are merely sinful creatures that he has saved by his grace and adopted into his family as his sons and his daughters. We can address God in different ways. We could say Almighty God or God Most High, but there is something comforting and stirs the soul in a way by addressing God, the infinite God, as our Father, my Father. It's the Lord's doing, and marvelous in our eyes that we are the children of God, we guilty sinners, and God, the maker and creator of all things, is our heavenly Father, and we have a personal relationship with him and he with us. So prayer was never meant to be some formal, cold, religious practice. Prayer is the children of God coming before God, their heavenly Father, who is infinite, majestic, glorious, holy, all-powerful, invisible, but coming before him in prayer. And that reminds us, of course, of his readiness to hear and answer us, because he is our Father. He has a fatherly love and concern and care for us, his children. Jesus says in the next chapter in Matthew, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to those that ask him? Sadly, there are some earthly fathers who couldn't care less about the children that they are the father of. They don't love them. They're not interested in them. They won't provide for them. They won't help them. They certainly won't guide them at all in life, and they wouldn't correct them if they needed correcting. But thankfully, they're in the minority. There are many men like that, but they're certainly not in the majority. Most fathers love their own children. They really do. And they care for them. And when their children are adversely affected, it affects them. And they'll do everything they can to provide for the children. And they'll do everything they can to guide them if they need guidance. And out of love for them, they'll seek to correct them when they go astray in any particular way. And the point Jesus is making is this. If an earthly father will do that for their child, how much more will God, our heavenly Father, do for us who are his children through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? No earthly father will ever excel the fatherhood of Almighty God. He is always going to be a greater, more glorious father to his children than any of us are to our children. And when we compare us who are fathers to God our Father, what a difference. You see, we who are fathers certainly aren't perfect. But the Christian's heavenly Father, Almighty God, is perfect. We have a perfect heavenly Father. As earthly fathers, we love our children. But we don't remotely love our children to the degree with which God loves his children through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And any earthly father here, and you know how much you love your children, what an encouraging thing to realize that love that you have for them is absolutely nothing in comparison to the love God has for you, his child, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We were earthly fathers, may or may not be able to do what we want for our children. But God can always provide for his children what they need and what is best for them. As earthly fathers, we may or we may not be wise, but God, our Heavenly Father, is the all-wise, almighty God. We who are earthly fathers certainly can't always be with our children, and they probably wouldn't want us always to be with them. But God, our Heavenly Father, never leaves, never forsakes his children. He is always with us, and we should always want him to be with us, and he always will be with us. We as earthly fathers may have times in our lives when we want to comfort our children because of various things, but we're not able to give them the comfort we would love to be able to do. But God, our Heavenly Father, he's a God of all comfort. He can comfort us, his children, in the way that we need to be comforted. We who are earthly fathers may fail to correct our children when they need to be corrected. Or we may be overstern, overstrict. We can go from one extreme to another. But God, our Heavenly Father, chastens and corrects us, his children, when we need and exactly how we need to be corrected. He is perfect in his correction of us. We who are earthly fathers don't know what's going on in the hearts and minds of our children. Sometimes we can guess. We know them well. We'd have a better insight than many people. But we don't know. There could be something concerning them that we don't know about, something upsetting them that we don't know about. But God, the Heavenly Father, knows the way his children take. He knows what's troubling his children, what's upsetting his children, what's concerning his children day by day. We were earthly fathers, may not be able to leave a vast amount of property and finance to our children. But God, our Heavenly Father, well, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We have an inheritance which is incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away, reserved in heaven for us. And sadly, of course, earthly fathers die. But God, our Heavenly Father, he is the ever-living God. So he's always alive, always there for his children throughout their lives. To think that God, the glorious, holy, infinite, invisible God, the Creator, the majestic God, glorious in holiness, would adopt you as his child and be a father to you and care for you and provide for you and guide you and love you in some of those ways I've pointed out to you there. And that you, therefore, are able to freely come before him in prayer. A good father will want to listen to their children. They really will. In actual fact, they'll be somewhat disappointed if their children sometimes don't share things with them. And God, the Heavenly Father, delights in the prayers of his children. And when he tells us to pray, let's not think for a moment we're giving him information that he doesn't know. That's not what prayer is. God knows, says Jesus, what you're going to pray about before you even ask. It's that God wants us to come before him and acknowledge to him, you know, whether it's thanks, needs, concerns for others, whatever it might be. And if a child has a loving, caring father, who they know loves them very much, how upset they will be when they displease their father and how they'll want to please them. And how much more should that be the case for us, God's children? We should want to please God, our Heavenly Father, because we realize he loves us so much. He cares for us. He guides us. He provides for us. He corrects us. He is a perfect Heavenly Father to us. And we should want to please him. And we should be so upset and grieved when we displease him as his children. And if you were a child and you had a father who loved you and cared for you and corrected you when you'd gone astray, and you knew rightly so, and gave you good advice, so on and so forth, that father would probably be quite upset if they realized that you didn't trust them. It's a sad thing if a child didn't trust their father. And yet, God, our Heavenly Father, guides us perfectly, provides for us, knows what's best for us, corrects us rightly, so on and so forth. And so often, we as children don't trust in him. And he tells us, in actual fact, in the Psalms, we're to trust in him at all times. And how displeasing to God, our Heavenly Father, when he sees that we are his children, have got no trust in him. If we have brothers and sisters, and we had a father who loved us all and cared for us all and guided for us all as a family of children, if, as brothers and sisters, we treated one another wrongly, you could imagine how such a father would feel and how displeased they would be. And God, our Heavenly Father, makes it very, very clear to us in his word how displeased he is when brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ treat one another wrongly and don't behave toward one another as they ought to do. And if a child had a father who loved them and cared for them and provided them and was so good for them, and he said to them, I want to set every Wednesday or every Saturday just apart for the two of us, I'm sure that child would, you know, keep that day apart, ready to spend with them. And God, our Heavenly Father, has set apart one day in seven for us and him. And we as his children should want to keep it with him. You see, if a child has a loving father, they know that they want to be near that father. And if we recognize that we are God's children and God is our Heavenly Father, we will want to come prayerfully before him, our Heavenly Father. It's an amazing truth that God reveals to us that he is our Father and we're his children through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I said to you before, and you think of John Mollerton, the little boy that they adopted, you know, all the problems he had. Isn't it incredible that God adopts you? You know, why you, when you think about it? And yet, God adopts you. He chooses you. You'd think he'd look for something better, wouldn't you? But no, he chose you and adopted you by his grace into his family through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And wonderfully, you can come before him in prayer and say, Our Father, which art in heaven.